All right, brothers and sisters, we will get this call underway. So I want to welcome you to this week's Black Wallets Matter Town Hall meeting. My name is Brother Lou, and I will be your host this evening. If this is your first time calling in, I want to run down a few ground rules for how we manage these calls. They usually last for about 2 hours, if we have a really good one. So I want to thank you in advance for coming to hang out with us tonight. I hope you're feeling inspired and empowered because you are now on a platform with a group of like-minded brothers and sisters who have come together for the purposes of discussing solutions to many of the problems in our Black community in an organized and in an intelligent manner. So if you remember when you called in, I addressed you as either brother or sister, and the reason we address one another as such is to show you a respect and to show a sign of solidarity. So during these calls, we do not discuss religion, we do not discuss the Black male and female dynamic, and we do not discuss political party affiliation. We can discuss politics as it pertains to our Black people in America and how we can use it to improve our situation, but we don't want to get into a discussion about which party did this and which party didn't do that. The reason we don't discuss these topics is because they are all opinion-based, which means no one is right and no one is wrong, and we will be here all night going around and around in circles arguing and not making any progress. So for all the guests on the call, we refer to you as a guest if this is your first time calling in. Let me just tell you a little bit about what Black Wallets Matter, this organization, is about. So if you haven't taken the time to watch the blueprint video that we have on our website, Black Wallets Matter is a member association comprised of brothers and sisters that believe the only way we're going to fix the problems in the Black community is if we do it ourselves and we start using the power of the Black dollars we already have. It's estimated we spend between $1.3, $1.4 trillion a year. So if we were to pool just a fraction of those resources and practice group economics, we could have a major financial impact and transform our community. That's the purpose of this Black Wallets Matter Association. We want to bring together like-minded brothers and sisters who are sick and tired of the sad state of affairs in the Black community and are motivated to take action. We want brothers and sisters who believe the first step to solving our problems is unity and then investing in ourselves and our people. You see, what we face here in America, the problems that we face, it is a systematic problem. The oppression, the racism, the injustice, it is baked into the system. So what we need is a systematic solution. No one man, woman, or child is strong enough to fight this system on their own. They do not have all the resources. So we have to take time to work together and build a system to counterbalance the oppression and the injustices we face. I believe that's the reason why nothing has ever worked for us before. We have never built a system that works without, like, a head, without a leader, without, someone pushing the movement forward. We need an organization where everyone is just on code, where everyone is just doing what they're doing, and that's how we're going to overcome the problems that we have. So building this system will require patience because there are a lot of things that we don't know how to do. For instance, organizing and cooperating with one another is not something that we're accustomed to doing. With the support of a few intrepid brothers and sisters and a well-thought-out plan, we feel that we can at least get headed in the right direction, and that's what this organization is about. We are about bringing together those brothers and sisters who are down for the cause, who are truly committed to empowering, liberating, and building and reversing our fortunes here in this country and abroad, right? So if you look at this, so again, like I said, the blueprint video on our website, it provides an A to Z blueprint for exactly how we can start from where we are now to how we can get to the quote-unquote promised land. It provides a structure for how we can build that system and how we can counterbalance the injustices we face. Is the blueprint perfect? I don't know, but for those of us who are sick and tired of sitting around, we think it's a good place to start, right? Because at least it's something, and it's something concrete. So I just want to, let everyone on the call, all the guests, right? So we have some members on the call, and we also have some guests. So if you're on this call and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, then maybe this is an organization you would want to consider joining. I want to tell you specifically the issues in the Black community that this organization wants to address. So we are focused on addressing the poverty that affects single black mothers. We want to address the underemployment that affects us at a higher rate than our counterparts. And we want to address the racial police brutality, right? And we want to do that through politics. So we want to focus on economics, and we want to focus on politics. And the reason why we want to focus on that is because we think it will have a domino effect to improve almost every other problem that we have in our community. So now a lot of people, they've been reaching out to me and they've been saying, hey, what about mental health issues and, you know, some of these other problems that we have going on? This organization is not focused on that. We can't focus on everything, right? Because we'll be chasing ourselves. Our plan, our blueprint, the way we want to do everything is all interrelated. It's all intertwined to get us the best bang for our action, effort, and bucks. So I want to outline to you exactly what that plan, like give you a scenario of what that plan looks like. I was speaking with a sister. She has a black organization. She has a black media outlet. And we were doing something of an interview. And I told her, I said, we have a few problems that we know of. We know we have the violence going on in our neighborhood. We know, you know, people need jobs. We know that our kids. Now, let me preface all of this. The way that this organization is truly, truly going to change what is going on, all the ill behavior, all the problems, most of the problems that we have, especially like with mindset, right? So a lot of people say that the problem with black folks is, you know, we need to change our mindset. That's why we're doing, you know, all the stuff that we're doing. First, let me say that if it looks like we're doing things, you know, where we're crazy, you got to remember that our community was decimated by the crack epidemic, right? That when people were on crack, we were looking at them like, you still got to be crazy. We are experiencing the fallout from that whole period because we lost that community vibe. We lost that solidarity, and we had mothers and fathers abandoning their children. We had children being raised by their grandmothers or being raised by the system or being raised by the streets and gangs and all these other things. Those children have grown up, and those children started having babies, and they have no structure, no sense, no idea of how to even raise a child. And so now those children are the young men and women that are out there right now. So if you're sitting there and you're scratching your head like, what in the hell is going on with these people? Why are they doing these things? Or what's wrong with us? I mean, we can legitimately say we're crazy because that is the fallout from the crack epidemic. So the solution is, I personally believe, and I've spoken with a lot of, you know, people within the organization, we're not going to be able to go and talk to 42 million black people and get them to change their mind. We're not going to be able to sit there and talk common sense into them. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to create a new culture, a new structure, a new definition of what it means to be black. We're going to have to work at it diligently and meticulously and document everything. And then we're going to have to start raising new generations of black babies with this new doctrine, with this new culture, this new definition of what it means to be black. Some of the things that will go into that is things like, listen, black people don't kill one another. Black people help one another. Black people are industrious. They start businesses. They practice group economics. The men don't mistreat the women. And, you know, some of the things, some of the decent principles we used to have, and some things that are cultural, some things that are ingrained in our African culture, right? So, but because we're no longer in Africa, because we're here in America, and this is a capitalistic society, we have to blend in the understanding of economics and business and finance and science and technology and all of that, because those are the laws and the rules that govern the place that we live. So our focus is mainly to create these entities where we can save and basically train and teach these babies. That is the solution for us getting out of this quagmire that we're in. Many of us may not live long enough to see it come to fruition, but if we can just build the system and get things underway, we all can leave this earth comfortable and, you know, that we left the world better than when we entered it, right? We can all say that we've done our little part. So I want to tell you what something like that looks like, right? The entities that would create these change within the black community, especially the children, we call them community resource centers, right? So community resource centers would be something like a big building, a school building, a college campus, or whatever it needs to be, whatever form, like a regular community center. And the children, the men and women, the black men and women at risk, in need in that community, would be able to walk into that center and get the things that they need. Specifically, the children will be able to learn these cultural values that we just spoke with. They will also be able to learn computer programming and, you know, electrical and science stuff, you know, all the things that are going to help them become productive members of society. The men and women, the parents, they will be able to go in these community resource centers and learn trades, or maybe get help with a job and writing resumes and all these other different things, these skills. If those children are hungry, when I grew up, we used to have the center. They used to have free lunch, and sometimes at night you used to be able to go to the center and still get, like, some sandwiches and stuff that's left over. If we have to feed those children in that community, then so be it. We need to take care of our own. That community resource center will be the epicenter of change within that community. It will be the catalyst. If any of you live in a at-risk area and live in a low-income area, live in a hood or whatever it is, you know that those young guys, they come out the house and they just hang around. And maybe they sell drugs, but they're just waiting around looking to get in trouble because there's nothing else to do. If we have this community resource center, there will be something for them to do. You can go in there, you can learn something, you can get a job, or you can learn skills that's going to help you get a job. You can even learn how to beautify your community. Right? So we have a lot of different things that we want to build within these centers. And if you think what I'm talking about sounds far-fetched, all you have to think about, if you don't live in an area where there's Jewish people, just Google yeshiva schools. They're all over the place. The Jewish community builds these things. They also have these, you'll see some of these Asian organizations and these Italian organizations, right? You'll ride past and all the windows are blacked out, smoked out, or whatever, and it's like members only. This is where these people go and they make the decisions for their community. They have organizations, places like these, and we need them. Because that's what's really going to change things. Now, a community resource center with the things that I'm talking about, it is going to take a lot of money, right? Because that's just what it takes. I mean, it may take $10 million, right, in one community. So let's just say one community in Atlanta needs one. We know most of the businesses in our communities are not owned by us. They're owned by Arabs and Asians and whoever else. We want them out of our neighborhoods, right, because they don't contribute anything. So what we could do, what this organization can do, we could pool our resources. We could maybe, let's say we get together $10 million, and I'll tell you how we can get there. So let's say we pool together $10 million. We could go and start buying up convenience stores. If they won't sell out to us, then we just start opening up right across the street from them. What we will do is we will systematize how to run a convenience store. We will do the inventory control. We will do the supply chain management and all the different things that need to be done, basically like a 7-Eleven, right? And once we get the format down pat, put it inside of an operations manual, we could offer that opportunity to the brothers and sisters who want to start businesses, who want to build wealth. As most of you know, if anyone here is a business owner or was in the process of exploring businesses, they say that franchises are some of the best businesses to invest in because they have an operating system and your chances of success are much higher. That's essentially what we could create. So now, you know, one of the problems people say, we need wealth and we need more businesses. Well, we just went and provided a business opportunity, which is a way for people to have businesses and build wealth. The other thing, we want to get the Arabs and all these other people out of community. Well, guess what? We just established a competing business, right? Because the organization has the type of money that it has, right? If you start a business, usually you have to make some type of investment into it until it starts breaking even and then eventually make a profit. We would be able to help those brothers and sisters either with long-term loans or maybe even subsidize them, give them, you know, buy the supplies and give it to them, you know, on credit, like how they, like most vendors do, right? Like 90-day terms and things like that. That would help that business compete with the Arabs in the community. Now, when you have a franchise, you collect, you know, the franchisor gets a royalty. We could collect a royalty from these companies. So let's say if the royalty was 20% or whatever, we could say, okay, cool, well, you know what, we're going to collect 25%. And what we would do with that royalty, we would take a portion of that, the vast majority of that, and use it to support that community resource center. Now, obviously, one convenience store is not going to do the trick, but if we were to get 6 and 10 and 15 or 20 in an area, you have enough money coming in. If you think about convenience stores, people go in them mindlessly. If you think about corner stores, bodegas, stuff like that, people just run in and out of them all day mindlessly, just spending money, 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 money. They make anywhere from $3,000 to $7,000. Some of them make $10,000, $12,000 a day. So we definitely could get the type of money that we need. And then now you're supporting that community resourcing. So now look at what we did. We just addressed the problem of black wealth. We addressed the problem of people needing businesses. We addressed the problem of people needing jobs, right, because the employees can work at the stores, and we're training them to get jobs and giving them employable skills in the community resource center. It all becomes a virtuous cycle. It all becomes supporting itself. Now here's the last thing we're talking about, dealing with the police brutality. Well, when you go and you help a community and you get their air, you get their attention, guess what? Now you can talk to them about what's going on a local level with the politics, right? If you have hundreds or however many people you have, like you just basically have a whole community attending or coming at this community resource center, it's very easy to get the word out about what's happening in that community, who's the alderman, the assemblyman, who's running for, you know, mayor or whatever it is. And now you have a voting block. And when you have a voting block, that is how you get real power. Right. So you have your economics taken care of with your businesses and your community. You have your people taken care of with your community resource centers. And now you have your political power. That's all black people need. That's it. That's the whole system. That's all we really need to sustain ourselves. And then we can just roll that out from city to city, town to town. We do it in Atlanta. We could do it in Detroit. We could do it in Chicago. We could do it in New York, L.A., Baltimore. We could do it in St. Louis. We can do it all over the whole country, everywhere where there's need. Because if you look at, if you think, and I'm just using these convenience stores for something, right? So it could be convenience stores. It could be discount stores. It could be grocery supermarkets, things like that. These are all things that our people need. Everybody needs. It's not even just black folks. Everybody needs stores. That's what people do. That's the secret. That's the key to how we're going to help ourselves, right? We're not going to jam black liberation and black power down anybody's throat. People are going to resist. But if they want to go and buy some stuff from a discount store, and we have a discount store, and they go in there and they're buying their paper towels and, you know, aluminum foil and whatever else it is that they need for the house, and a portion of that is going back to supporting the community resource center in that area, you got a virtuous cycle, a self-sustaining entity. and it can be replicated. But there needs to be a group of brothers and sisters to create that entity. We need to do this, right? There has to be a group of brothers and sisters who come together and say, I'm willing to create, I'm willing to contribute and work with other brothers and sisters, but I'm not looking to get rich from the thing, because the money has to get circulated back into the community. Now, the perks for the people who chip in, one, you build a very, very strong network of brothers and sisters who are powerful. If you, right, so like we're talking about supply chain, we're talking about all the different services and things that that these businesses are going to need. If you own a business in that field, then you can become a supplier or a vendor for your local area. Even if you're not in business, well, guess what? Now you have a business that you can get into with built-in demand. You would get preference. Those are the things that we want to build. Those are the type of layups that we need. That's the good old boys network. That's how these other people work. If you look at the Asians, their whole supply chain is Asian from top to bottom. They only work with their people. We need to start getting our people in places like that. If we got some guys, if we know we starting to rent out all these different spaces and all these stores need to be built out, well, guess what? We got these guys that's working, that's learning, you know, the learning trades inside the community resource center. Guess what? We could put those guys right to work. They could run around and start building out everything for us. We have all the seeds that we need. We just, the last sticking point is the intrepid group of brothers and sisters to start and build this thing. That's all we need. So let me tell you how we can do that. Let me tell you how we can plant this seed and fertilize it and watch it grow. This organization has a goal of 2,000 founding members, right? We have a membership due. The membership dues are $10 at the silver level, $25 at the gold level, and $50 at the platinum level. If you become a founding member, your money, your membership dues, gets pooled with all the other members. If we get 2,000 founding members, even at the lowest level, which would be $10 a month, that would give this organization $20,000 a month in recurring income. This organization, our first goal is to build a shopping portal, an online shopping portal. We've negotiated, we've spoken with people to negotiate a way for us to get a kickback whenever anyone buys something from any of the stores that we're affiliated with on the shopping portal. Now, a lot of people, most people say, yep, we can have a shopping portal, and we can have all the black businesses, and we can have all of this stuff in there. Yes, it is a very nice idea, but here's the reality. We don't have enough black businesses to fill up a shopping portal. And even when we do not support them at the rate that you guys would think that we do. I have the data. I am in a very unique position to actually see what tens of thousands of black folks say and what tens of thousands of black folks actually do. What I'm saying from you, there's no speculation about anything that I'm saying. So we had a shopping portal on our own website. We had a lot of people come. We had people say, listen, if you want to promote your business, you can put your business here. We had 13 people, you know, say that they want to promote their business on our display, on our directory. And out of those 13 people, one person actually had someone patronize them. We have about 15,000 people just on our email list. We have 70,000 people on Facebook, right? Those are nice numbers. Those aren't, those aren't little numbers. And when we go and we say, hey, so look, here's this black business here, you can support. Only one received support. So what we are going to do is we're going to put the stores where we actually spend our money. We spend our money with Walmart. We spend our money with Target. We spend our money with Sears and Kmart and whoever else. That's where we actually spend our money. And so we've already negotiated that to get the relationships with those. So every time when you go and you're buying, you know, something off Walmart or something on Amazon or something or whatever, like, the organization will be able to get a percentage of that, and that will help us build. That's what we want to build. So we need to build an app, we need to build a website, and we need to build the technology behind it, and we need to hire the people to manage that. We can do that with $20,000 in recurrent income. It's going to take about $100,000 to build the thing out, but then there's going to be ongoing marketing fees, and then there's going to be other, you know, other costs associated with it. But that will get the snowball rolling. Those 2,000 founding members, even if we don't get not one new member from the 2,000, how many other black folks can we get in front of and be like, hey, listen, if you're going shopping, here's a coupon. It's from Black Wallets Matter. They use the coupon. They get a discount on what they're buying, and the organization still gets credit. It's a win-win-win. The store gets some money. The person got a cheaper price than what they were looking for, and the organization gets support. We have no doubt that that will take off like gangbusters. And you know how I know? Because there is a company called Ebates that currently exists, and they do $2 billion a year with this same exact model. $2 billion with a B. So that's why I am very confident in saying that this organization could easily get $10 million. Within the last year, there's another company that came out and did the same thing, and their revenues for last year were $200 million. $200 million. So we can do the same thing. We can emulate this. This is something that already is out there. It already exists. It already works, but we just don't benefit from it. And we don't own any products. We don't have anything. We just have to hire the people to manage the software and all that. That is the goal of this organization, Black Wallets Matter specifically, for this year. We want to get the 2,000 founder members so we can build that. That's how we can take a small amount of money and snowball it into a large amount of money. And as we keep having that money coming in, we can start rolling out these community resource centers. Every month we have that money coming in. If we go and we put a brother in business, put a family, a black business, a black family in business to run some stores, and they're a little bit behind, guess what? We can help them. We can support them. We have the money. And you know what that brother and sister is going to do? Well, I mean, it's going to be a mandate. It's going to be a mandate that they teach the game to somebody else, that they present the opportunity. It's also going to be a mandate that they support their community, that they contribute to that community resource center. Think about it. If you're in a place like New York, there are black businesses. So some places there aren't. If you're in a place like New York, there's tons of black businesses. You know why they don't give back to the hood? Because there's no way. You can't really tell how. You don't know where to put your money. But we're going to provide that structure. It's going to be the same thing. Once we have that system set up, I have no doubt our celebrities will be supporting us like crazy. Because now they see the system. They see where they put a dollar in, and then it produces a result in a structured and systemized way. Think about how everything works in America. It works as a system. Can't have like a hodgepodge of, you know, all of this stuff going on. You got to have something that's very clear, concrete, and direct so that people can understand what's going on. Now, what we're doing right now, we're pulling this thing together the best way we can, because this is something that we have never really done as a people. We haven't done it. But black people can do this because Caribbeans do this. My stepfather is Trinidadian, and he has Jamaican homeboys and all of this stuff. They do susus and all these other different types of things. They practice group economics. They're black just like us. So we can definitely do something. So that's all I want to say, brothers and sisters, as the introduction to this call. If you have any questions about that, then you can press *6. And if you don't have any questions, then we will move forward with a discussion. For tonight, we will bring a topic to the floor, and we will begin discussing it. really what I would like, anyone who is new on the call, I would like for you to press star six and tell us a solution. I mean, tell us, you know, a problem that you've identified in the community, and then, you know, propose a solution, right? So let's get people engaged. Let's get people involved. We have at least another hour and 20 minutes. So, you know, star six. Sister Shauna. Yes, sister.
Hi, I have a new person on the call. She's just with me here, and here she is.
My thought, hi, I'm Tasha, and I think the biggest problem is the illiteracy that we have in our community, in the sense that we're not taught from childhood on up, like going into the high schools, and not even the high schools, really starting in the elementary schools and teaching kids, as well as teaching their parents, because by teaching kids, they take this stuff home, and parents sometimes, 9 times out of 10, I think, would look over their homework or ask their kids what you learned today, and by teaching the kids, it, you know, teaches the parents also.
Right, yeah, I mean, yeah, my kids teach us in home homework for the adults. I don't know, I mean, for the parents, I don't know what's up with them with that, but, okay, and so what is your solution? Or your proposed solution?
I mean, my proposed solution, honestly, is I have no idea how to put it in action. But me personally, I would love to get in and start teaching our community about the finance side of things. Because even as me as a child, my main goal was to get a job and work for someone and try to get a decent job just to pay your bills. And honestly, that's not a way to live just over broke. So getting in, I would love to find a way to get in to teach kids the finance side of things.
Oh, wait, hold on. So when you were saying illiteracy, you don't mean reading, you mean financial literacy.
Financial literacy. Oh. And so, yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right, so because I thought you were just talking like reading, writing, like the basics. Okay, so financial literacy, yes, okay. Okay.
And also,
yes, that.
Also, on the literacy side, I'm tongue-tied. A lot of the people, I have family members. I live in Houston, and if anybody's from Houston, everybody know that Third Ward is called like the bottom. And that's where, you know, it's changing now, but that's where most people that really just don't have live. And I'll never forget, I asked this young man who is a cousin of mine, hey, aren't you planning on going to college once you graduate from high school? He said, I can't go to college. I said, why can't you go to college? He said, well, he had literally been told that he could not go to college, could not further his education, could not educate his mind beyond his environment. And it saddened me because that's so wrong to teach, you know, somebody to teach their, you know, they stopped their dream before it even became a thought to him.
Who told him he couldn't go to college?
I think a teacher told him that, because it wasn't none of the family members. I actually think it was a teacher that told him that. And for him to already, and he was like 17, 18 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he truly believed in his heart of hearts that he could not go to college. He was not college material.
Right. Yeah, that has a lot to do with the environment, you know, the self-esteem. Someone impressed their self-esteem or lack thereof. Someone impressed that upon that young man. And that's very unfortunate. And so, like, one of the things that we, you know, that we were suggesting with the Community Resource Center, that right there would go into improving the self-image of those children, you know, allowing them to be prosperous, allowing them to be in an environment or a community where they're able to see other brothers and sisters that are respectable, that are decent, have dreams, have goals, and are being encouraged to achieve those. Because that's the important part. A lot of times we don't have like the networks to do some of the things. So like how you said, you prefaced your solution. You said, I have no idea how to go about doing this, but right. So if you go and you look at in some of these other communities, they don't even think like that. They have the idea and then they just get to work because they have people within their network that make things happen. And that's a benefit for us all. We need to start saying, hey, you know what, listen, I either need the hookup or I need to be the hookup for somebody. Because that's what our people really need. They need direction. They need hookup. They need connections, right? We have some people, we have elites who have connections and things like that, but it's not for all of us. I mean, I think that there needs to just be we need to just have a certain level of living, just like the Jewish community. You see, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a Jewish bum. I don't even think I've even seen any of them guys like homeless and, you know, all of that because they take care of their people. Now, it's way too many of us to think like that, but I mean, I think that the vision of us, the opinion of us should be such a level where it's like, hey, you know what? I can do anything coming from where, no matter whatever situation or environment I come from, because that's essentially what we did. We came from slavery, and we are where we are now. We've made progress, right? So I think it's just a matter of fostering that positive outlook and positive self-esteem, you know, in all of our children. We need that. We need that as a people, even many adults.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
All right, sister. Anything else?
No.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Sister Shauna.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Is there anyone else that have anyone else wants to weigh in? Does someone have a problem and a solution? Okay, Brother Leon. So now listen, for the brothers and sisters on the call, now understand, when I sent you the email, I said, hey, listen, come on a call, let's discuss some solutions to some of the problems that we have. Right, so this organization is a little bit different than some of the other things you do, you know, some of the other calls you may get on, right? We're not judging anyone. This is a judgment-free zone, and we are actively building, right? So we are looking for new ideas. It doesn't matter if you don't have it fully fleshed out, formulated. We can sit there. We can work it out together. But we need to hear from as many brothers and sisters from different parts of the country because where we live, you know, there's different things going on, and we need that type of input. I see a few area codes that I've never seen before, like 386. I have no idea where that is. Let's see, what else? We have a few other, what is this? Well, 702, no, that's 832. 832, I don't know where that is. So we have, there's a few people from some places, and there's some new callers here, 734. Just let us know what's going on in your local area. What do you see? What's a problem? And let's just start throwing out some solutions. Brother Leon and Sister Fernita, hold on for a second. Brother Leon.
Okay. Ladies first?
I'm sorry? You said lady first?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'll let the sister go, and then I'll call you. I'll go back to you then.
Yes, sir.
All right. Sister Fernita, hold on. Peace, sister.
Hello, everybody. And thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I really do.
Yes, Brother Leon is a scholar and a gentleman.
I appreciate that. We always love that, all of us, whether we're male or female, right? We all love that. So, hello. Hello, Brother Lou.
How are you?
As far as building, I hear you say about building community centers, places for our children to go, or young people, or even adults to go. I think that's all great when it becomes time. But, you know, you spoke about the kids being outside and hanging out, and you see them as you're going by, and they riff-raff, they're already outside. Put them to work. They're already outside. We are a people of the outside. We need to embrace that. Now, going in to build on something and to work on something, because we work not only with our minds, but we are artists. Start recognizing who we are and incorporating that into American fabric. We are workers. We are artists. We are entertainers. Put us, ourselves, to work. When we go, we want to build and have places for everyone to go, and even the homeless, as I mentioned in the very first time I spoke to you. We can help just on a daily basis and build from that. We can connect with one another, with businesses. I'm so cool on the fact of knowing about a networking that I can add my business to. Shout out to Fiona's Florals, by the way. And I'm building, so I'm learning. I have to buy my subscription to the company, become better adjusted in listening and being here. But I'm also attempting to grow a business, so I'm not always available, but I love learning. And talking about this, the solution is doing. Let's do it. And how do we connect that we're so far away from one another? How do we connect? Do we just throw notions my way, I throw notions, and we all put it out there that we actually are doing? You see these young people?
The phone broke up. You said I heard notion, then the phone like broke up. Sorry.
Oh, well, notion. The notion is to put them to work. We talk about youth and building, and as the young lady who first spoke said something about the literacy and becoming focused on finances. Budgeting is, we can put that to work tomorrow, finding a person who can teach a budgeting class for low income. Everybody needs to budget. I would love it that the whole entire world would take parenting classes, because they're not just about teaching you what you better do, but to help you understand what you may not be looking at. So everybody can use these resources, and we can volunteer, add in to teach right away. Within weeks, put something together, find a classroom, find a community center that's already existing. Talk to people and tell them, I'm going to help you budget. That is the number one thing all of us need to learn how to do. We can all benefit from staying in the boundaries of our own budgets. And that way we begin to see, hey, there's a black company over there that sells the same thing. They are great artists or craftsmen, and I can buy their product, and I don't have to go over there. We have to put it into effort and just do it. Budgeting is number one. Literacy, that kind of goes along with it. You know, I actually realized.
Now you mean regular literacy or financial literacy?
Both of them. The young lady spoke of both. She said finances as a literacy, as well as English and learning and reading and comprehension. Oh, man, do we have a problem comprehending. Communication sucks as it is. And on top of that, we can't read the words and speak the languages, you know. So
yeah.
It's a matter of getting in there and doing it. But as I was about to say, it was an incident that I was about to mention. Oh, for the past several years, my idea has been to find this place that everybody can go, kind of like speed dating under that premise, but it's not speed dating. It's actually language speaks. If you pass people every day and you say the same things, you are actually learning if they don't have the same language. So I thought of a way that, you know, to be consistent and practice words, you go and have like a speed date thing, but you're actually learning another language, either through phrases or either just single words. And before you know it, your meetings. But that's a whole other program, is, you know, outside of the black community. But in other words, instead of being able to go to the place I want to go to, I ended up learning Spanish words just by passing people, the same people, each time, and we learn from each other. So over the past 6 years, I've learned Spanish words, and she has learned English words. And when we pass each other, I say it in Spanish, and she says it in English. So either way, it's the art of doing. And I'm done. But did you get the idea about the solution about putting them to work? We want to build something in community centers. Put these kids to work. Use their hands, their minds, their hands, everything working together. And that is the challenge for them. Not to go to the place just to sit down and learn some more and listen to somebody speak. We are putting them to work in so many different areas, especially when you mentioned about beautifying or landscaping. Oh, my gosh. You just challenge people once you are actually there to do it and ready to have maybe a crew of whatever, and you notice that there's kids hanging around or there's a place where kids are. You offer them a job doing something, honey, it is done, because that's what we do. And we just have to just do it.
Well, I am in agreement with just do it. But we actually tried something like that within the organization. We actually tried to just do it. And I can tell you it definitely needs more structure and organization.
I have homeless people advertising for me, and
I understand that. But what I am saying to you is the things that you're saying in terms of just go out there and put them to work. You know, mm-hmm. who's paying you? You know, because you're talking about a business. So where's the demand? Where are the customers?
You invest.
No. We're talking about the customers though. We're saying who, because the business, the way that the business is going. So let's say if you say the landscaping company or something like that, which is something that we are actually we're looking at junk removal and landscaping and those, you know, those low skilled jobs that definitely would be able to put people to work. But and like you're saying, you know, just do it. There needs to be a customer base. Like it has to be established at some point. Like you have to, like that has to be, you can't just say, all right, I'm going to go and just do it. So if you go and you take on a crew, you know, you got two or three guys, there's going to, you know, what are you going to pay these guys until the thing gets underway? And what is the plan to actually get customers in so that that business could at least become self-sustaining? So it's one thing to just say, all right, I want to do this thing from an emotional perspective, but it's a whole other thing to, you know, sit down and map it out from a business perspective. Because if you don't have the customers, you don't have a business.
You and I are speaking on two different planes right now. Forgive me. What I understood about your conversation was the fact that we do pass up the kids in the hood and see them doing this, and we were talking about the fact that there's no connections or very minimal connections because of whence they came from, how they grew up. So my understanding of that was to put them to work. What you're talking about is somebody owning a business and going
no,
out.
No,
to
no,
time.
No,
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 no, no, no.
How would you put them? How would we put them to work? Is what I'm asking you. So then,
In the community that they're hanging out to, for example, let's say a project. I don't know, but I'm going to say a project. And you're in there hanging out. Somebody step up to the plate to get to the manager of that facility and tell them that and propose that same thing. What I propose to do is put these kids to work. Now, I'm not asking you guys for any money, but we're trying to teach them how to I want to promote self-awareness for them, and hopefully that could help you out. Now you got a win-win situation with you and a manager, and they'll give you information on which kids that might be more beneficial to what you're trying to do. It's not about you contracting with the project manager on getting paid. You're getting paid by teaching them something that's going to come back to you. You're going to have your job. You're going to do your job, whatever that. But the idea is Just do it.
Wait, hold on. You're saying put them to work without paying them, is what you're saying?
No, well, you would, if you have $20 in your pocket and told three people you give them $5 each, they'll work. They will work. They will help you. Why did you laugh?
I don't know what people work for where you're from. I don't know if we're talking
and
about
not,
the same kind of young.
I'm talking about
like these little guys out here who's wearing like Beat headphones and Gucci belts and you know all of this other kind of stuff. Like these little guys, they like.
And then the other kids who are not like that will work, and that's the intimidation. We don't expect these things to change overnight. This is a process, man. We understand that. It's a process.
Okay. When I'm saying put them to work, I mean give these guys an alternative to selling drugs, gang banging, and all this stuff.
And that is the alternative because they're going to begin to start helping us beautify the neighborhood, and they're going to start becoming aware. Why? Because you said so, and they need to take a look at themselves. And it's time to say that to them, and there's no harm in that. You didn't come with a gun. I didn't come with a broom or a knife. I just came to say, can you help me do this, and I'll give you, can you guys not do this because we can be doing this? I'm just saying, if you say you got to start with pulling them together, grouping, we've done all that. We've been doing that. Let's try to look at this in a different perspective for a change. Try some change. Put them to work. And that's the challenge, to get these kids aware. A lot of these families are strapped, not with a gun, but with issues. And any type of acknowledgement, well, that's inspirational. Any type of acknowledgement is the building block of moving forward. And, okay, so if I've spoken enough, forgive me, y'all, and thanks for listening.
Thank you, Sister. All right. Sister T.
So thank you, Brother Lou. I really appreciate you giving me another opportunity to share. I was actually jotting some notes halfway in the dark, and I just turned my light on. First, I do want to remind us that we are in a non-judgmental zone, and if folks knew how to do this, it would have already been done. I have joined a lot of groups. Some are still together. Some fall apart. People walk away because all it is talk and no action. And then they rather walk away than strategize action. And what I want to say is to the young lady that just spoke, I applaud your ideas. And I believe in what you're saying. I do see the challenges that Brother Lou may have been alluding to. Everything, in my humble opinion, that we are tasked to do as a people and community moving forward are going to have challenges. And they're human challenges. We are human. We're figuring out. We're moving from talking to doing. Brother Lou's platform is amazing. That's why I'm on the call every week. That's why I will be a founding member and continue to support with ideas, et cetera. I have a lot of ideas, too, some that may work and some that may not work. But what I know for sure is they will require strategy and task. And those will require like-minded people jumping on board in these subgroups that could brainstorm, strategize, set up the task, and move forward in action to create something tangible. Now, you're talking about put these people to work. It has been done, and it can be done. And I think just a couple of ways, a lot of people want to become nonprofits. When somebody tells me that, I send them the entire package that I paid $1,500 for, and I don't charge them anything. But it's overwhelming from the start. And if they don't consider having a team, a board, et cetera, to support them in supplementing the necessities to make it happen, nothing gets done. But nonprofits raise money for those very things through grants. There are famous people, athletes, wealthy people, yada, yada, corporations and all that kind of stuff that have money for such. And so how do you tap into that? The nonprofit organization has their team, yada, yada, and that's how that moves forward. GoFundMe, and the reason why I want to say GoFundMe is because for some reason the main things I see run across my GoFundMe site is for funerals. And I think that that's a shame, and I think it's due to financial illiteracy. Not just because you live in the hood and you're not educated or you don't have the best job, this and that and the other. It's because no one has taught them budgeting or any financial literacy so that they can take their money and put it in performing platforms to grow. And so if all 2,000 of the originating members learn all of these things, then they can share that information and people come on board to learn what they need to learn, to offer the gifts that they have to offer, and go and get into the sub community that they fit in. That's how it works. These are like ball bearings. You oil them and they all work together. So I said earlier about wealth building, financial literacy, and all of that. So you have people in the group, on the team, the skill for that, and they develop those programs and bring those kids in. The young people that Brother Lou talks about reaching, if you gave them $5 a day to come to a class, they would come. 2,000 people can contribute $5 extra to that pool so that X amount of young people could be in this class learning this information. They start at the basic. You start with the basic program. They do the advanced program. They do the leadership program. They do the entrepreneurship program. And then they go out and each one teach one. I can go on and on and on about ideas of how to effectively affect change and make a lot of these ideas into workable solutions for our community. But I know that we're on limited time, and I don't want to take up the entire floor. And, again, I appreciate, Brother Lou, you allowing me to throw in my two cents here and there.
Thank you so much, Sister T. Thank you for weighing in. All right. And then we have Brother Greg. Brother Greg.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, brother.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, brother. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can. Yes. Listen.
All right.
This is my first time on the line here, and I was just listening, and it seems like, you know, we have a lot of ideas and solutions that can work, you know, sound like some very intelligent people you have here going on, and, you know, everybody has a way of doing something. But I was under the impression that, you know, I'm kind of like trying to stick to the blueprint.
No, brother. This session right here of the call is just for people to share their you know, just their opinions, their ideas, just to put them out there, right? Because a lot of times people there may be something that's itching you, bugging you in your local area or something like that, and because you have a lot of brothers and sisters here listening, you may be able to figure out a way to implement something. But I told you, you know, as I said at the onset of the call, you know, this organization already has its missions. You know, I opened up the floor, I invited people to come on board, you know, to become a member and join us and help us build out the thing. But this is not to take us off course. We have other calls that are specifically for the members where we talk about how we push our stuff forward, though.
I'll just continue to listen. Then I'm, you know, this is my first time. I'm gonna be a listener.
What's going on in your area, and what kind of changes do you? You know, what kind of solution? Doesn't have to be something that we're focusing on.
Well, I just, like I said, I'm just moved here in Henderson almost a year from D.C. after being in D.C. for 30-something years. And I'm looking at, a lot of things that's going on. This area is very limited in resources for young people. You know, I know some folks that need mental health things, you know, things like that, and the resources just aren't here for them. So a lot of people, young people, are getting hung up, you know, in the system, wind up in jail or hospital or worse, because they don't have resources for them. So I'm participating in that area here in my local area.
Right.
So, first of all, I'm just, you know, I like this blueprint thing that you had, and that drew my interest, because I know we can do a lot of things if we had the financial resources. So I believe that's you're going to need that. All this other thing is just a lot of talk. Unless
right,
we have
right.
the resources to put them talk into action.
Absolutely. 100%, brother, 100%. So like I said, some of the solutions that we are proposing, the main thing, the backbone of our membership, it is so that we can have the resources. So if you look at other organizations, right, other ethnic groups, they have some kind of entity that they contribute to, and then that entity takes care of their business for them. So if you look at, like, the ACLU, right, so when Trump did this travel ban, back when he first got in office, these people sent so much money to the ACLU in, like, one weekend that they were able to, you know, go to the judges and, you know, overturn this guy's executive order. Like, I didn't even know you could overturn an executive order. They overturned an executive order in one weekend, $24.1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And see, we don't have, so we had the NAACP, and we had, what's the other one, the Urban League, and, you know, some of these things. But when they started, I guess, getting into, like, I guess, like, the political areas and things like that, and started playing the politics game, I'm not going to say they forgot about the little man on the ground or whatever it is. It's just that we just don't have that unified representation anymore. And
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about for the common man, for the common mm-hmm. brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
They will shut you down.
Yeah, well, you know what? Here's one of the things that we can do. I keep my finger on the pulse of what the opposition is doing. But like, if we were like in our own communities and just started taking care of business to the level like the Arabs and the Asians, think about it, right? So America is an inherently racist place, right? They don't like nobody. If you, when you first come here, they don't like you. I mean, they did that to the Irish, the Italians, the Polish, Jews. That's just the way the American fabric is. They just don't like them. It's the same thing with like these Arabs right now. They hate them for being Muslims. They hate it. But we all know that these guys are coming in our community taking care of business. So that should be proof to us that there's really no block, right? If you take the you look at them, their skin is not white. It's not as dark as ours, but it is definitely not white. And it's not even light. It's a brownish kind of it has some melanin in it. It has some color. If you look at the Indians, some Indians actually look like us. Right? The American system does not like them because they look different, because of their religion and all these other things, yet they are still able to come together and take care of business. They're doing it in our neighborhoods. Now, are they doing it in our neighborhoods to stay under the radar or whatever the reason, or because they, I personally spoke with a lot of them. You know, they just call us easy money. We liquid money. If we were to start doing the same and minding our own businesses and start taking care of our own little community, I'm telling you, we would have so much momentum, so much would be accomplished before they even pick their heads up to look and see what we're doing, to see that we're organized. It would be to the point where it wouldn't be able to stop. Right. And we don't need to, like, you know, as we discussed in the blueprint, right, we're not trying to make spectacles of ourselves. We're not trying to draw attention to ourselves, yelling, you know, going out there screaming, marching, protesting. Look at me. I'm mad. You know, we don't care about that. But we need to, there needs to be a group of us who are serious, who are going to just get down to business. That is the true liberator. That's the true equalizer. And they haven't taken, so maybe we didn't have the opportunity to have business. Maybe we didn't have the opportunity to participate in the economy, you know, 400-500 years ago. But we have that opportunity now. But we're not taking advantage. And some of us are going, like you just said, right? We can be sitting here, we can talk and, you know, do all of these things like that. You became a member. You became a member earlier today, right? Or something like that, right?
Yes, I did.
Right. Okay. So you'll see when we have our other calls. But the things that we talk about is actually pushing the ball forward, right? Because that's what we understand. We understand that it's going to take finances, but it's going to take well-organized, structured use and execution of those finances. You don't want to squander. You understand what I'm saying? You don't want to squander what you have, and you want to be able to build something. The other thing, right, that we know about our folks, you got to show them something concrete. Right, so there has to be a group of us that have to build that structure. We have to build it. And if we plan on doing it on a national scale, if we plan on doing it on a scale where it will really, really make impact all across the country, because, like, right now is the best time for us to do it. We have a couple of things working in our favor right now. We have white people fighting amongst themselves. They can't figure out which way is up and which way is down. I mean, like, we're on the brink of civil war. And I mean just white people against, like, conservative white people against liberal white people. You understand what I'm saying? We have technology. We have technology. We can communicate with each other with no friction, clear across the world. We have that. So it's definitely ways. And then the other thing too, we have the element of surprise. Even though we're communicating about doing certain things, even if it is out in the open, they're so used to us never actually doing anything, like they laugh. They laugh.
And they don't pay attention. To a certain point.
It's not, they don't take it serious. They don't take us. They don't take us serious because we don't take ourselves seriously most of the time.
There you go.
We don't take ourselves seriously. The vast majority of people that come into this organization that interface with us, they come because they're interested in black economics, black business, things like that. As we were saying earlier, like before we actually got the call started, if that is your intention and you currently are not running a business or successful in business or really know what's going on with economics and things like that, you're going to have to become a serious student of that. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. It's serious business. It's what controls this country. Business is what controls this country. They call it a corporatocracy. These large corporations tell the politicians what to do. So that's the best game for us to learn. That's the best thing for us to learn. So, you know, and we're focused on that here with this organization. If we don't get to 2,000 founding members, we're going to do it with however many numbers that we have. We're going to do it. And then other people are going to come on board later.
Yeah, well, I don't think your blueprint is far-fetched. You know, I believe it's something that could really happen. But it, like I said, it's about, you know, pulling your talent, because, you know, you got sound like, a few young ladies that I heard, you know, they had talent, and you know how women do. They step right up to the plate. And,
yeah,
you know,
I was talking to the sister about that earlier. Yes, I would say step right up to the plate and handle. Yes, they do.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
they
right.
do.
So you know, I'm good to go. Like I said, I I'm retired. I'm not looking to be rich or anything or to even make any money. I'm looking to
build a legacy.
To affect the change, and I know I can do it.
So we welcome you aboard, brother. Thank you for joining us. All right, brother Leon, where are you, brother? Brother Leon, where did you go? There you go, brother Leon.
Oh yeah, hey, brother Luke. Glad to be on the call tonight. And I was listening, and those three ladies that came on, they had brought up very interesting points. And I was just in a meeting yesterday with somebody that has the solution for what they were talking about. So the lady in Houston, I like to get with her. I'm from Beaumont, Texas. I'm 90 miles away from her. I'm going to tell a little slight story. I was in the bowling alley yesterday. It was a business meeting. I met the CEO of a company, and what they did, one of the board members owned the bowling alley. So we having people come from the schools, bring their children in, because the program they have is a program that helps students in tutoring. But now what I saw was a little kid was at the bowling alley that was, was too little to actually send the ball down the alley. So they put this little stair-step thing up where the kid could put the ball in and the ball would have more momentum going down the alley, and it would knock down the balls. Well, the little kid, he after he knocked three or four balls down, he adjusted the thing so it could knock down other balls. Now, at first he was throwing the ball down the alley, he was all disgusted because it wasn't working. But when he got that little tool, his whole attitude and self-esteem changed. When he walked out of there, he was just a happy and an inspired kid because we gave him a tool, and the tool worked, and it changed his whole personality. And I saw another kid that was too small to pick a ball up, but she saw him. She was inspired to do something. Okay, now, I would say that was a story. But now, this is what I did, the meeting we had, and this is a solution. Okay, that's like right now, this gentleman that I met with, he has a company that's already established, and what they do is that they offer tutoring to low-income people that can't afford to get the tutoring. And what they did yesterday in our area, they was able to go to the school district and get the school district to come in and buy into the concept where students that are at risk, through like science and math, well, they have special tutors now that they can get at a very affordable price and pay for it by the hour, and the tutoring system actually helps the parents and the child say, get better at the lesson. So I recognize that our literacy illiteracy cases, children are really hurting. They can't read, okay, in a lot of senses. Well, this program here, this gentleman, he's a young guy, but he started a program, and it's going nationwide where they are actually doing something about that. And when I thought about it, I mentioned to him about what we was doing, and he's the CEO. And he said, Leon, I like that. And he said, well, I'd like to get with you and say, well, y'all let me know what I got to do, and I'll be with you. So, but I was saying all that to say this here, right, for the solution for some of the things we're doing, that could be a strong pillar in that we're going directly at an issue like children that's not working, that don't have nothing to do. A lot of those kids cannot read, okay, and they cannot afford to be, you know, get a tutor or somebody that can help them there, so they're out there just an idle mind. Well, this gentleman here, he's a Ivy League type graduate, you know, graduated from Yale, that type of thing, and he came from the hood. So he recognized that, and he can go national with his company. He's going national by helping people that have a need. And so, but I was saying that to say this. So with a student, okay, that can't read, a child that can't read, well, this program is something that they can come to one of our centers and sign up, not in a position with what? They got tutors, you know, somebody that can help them. And the parents is also geared for to help the parents to what? Learn how to help this child, those type of things. So when I saw that, we was talking, and I still saw that could be a perfect fit for what we're doing, because at a center, now that's something, that'd be another attribute that we could add, that we could say when it comes to the center, this is something you can get. What we're doing, we're going to churches and organizations here in this area and introducing the program. We did about 7 superintendents last week, and then we had a follow-up meeting today. We installed it in 2 schools in Houston and one in Beaumont yesterday. Mm-hmm. So right now, I was just saying that when I heard those sisters talking about that, that's something that we have a solution for that right now. And the gentleman that's the CEO of the company is in a position where he's wanted to, you know, talk to us about how we can implement this into what we're doing. And now, I'm right now on the road in my car. I'm going to decide. Anyway, I'm going to read his mission statement to kind of give you just an idea of what it is. They already established company. And Brother Lou, if you don't mind, I'm going to read his mission statement. He's a young brother. This is his mission statement. It says, learning is a long-time process, and most of it happens outside of the classroom. Okay, at SOS, that's the name of the company, we strive to bring greater opportunity for learning to every student. Our community of tutors offer support, mentorship, and tailored learning. Okay, that's specified for that student experience. Okay, our suite of software offers a safe place for students and teachers to meet online in a digital classroom. Our team of education experts create high quality material and ensure our services are conducive to the student academic and personal growth. All of this to meet our goals to provide learning through opportunity. Combining real people and cutting edge technology is our option. It's our opinion of the best way to help educate all. So this is already established, and they're in a position where they take a student that's having bad grades, they can't read. They can put the educational system in their hand through their cell phone. And most children who are underprivileged, they have access to a cell phone. So I just wanted to say that, because that solution to that, once our students are learning and learn how to read, they can go get that job, they can go fill out that application. Why? Because they can read. And that's the biggest thing now that's stopping a lot of the children. The reading thing is like they can't read. And that's it. So this would be something that can go directly at the problem. Like these brothers said, the sisters, they step up to the plate. But they were both talking about, the sister in Houston, well, how can I get this done? Well, in fact, in Houston, the owners are still in Houston today. So it's something that's out there that can affect that problem immediately. So I just wanted to say that, Brother Luke, because, right, you know, God has put me in a position where I'm coordinating people like that, and these guys are up and running, and they're willing to help. So I'm going to turn the call back over to you, brother.
So, all right, that's excellent, man. I was actually inspired by what you said in terms of, you know, little guy bowling, and, you know, he's feeling, you know, he's upset because he got getting the gutter balls, and then, you know, you guys helped him out, and then that boosted his you know, boosted his confidence. That's essentially what we need. That works for people everywhere. And so if you remember when we were talking about, like, the ambassadorship program, we were saying, well, what could we do right now as a people that wouldn't require too much investment, too much, you know, whatever kind of problem? And we were actually thinking about this in lieu of launching one of those small businesses, and we were talking about doing a cleanup effort. So that was like an idea that came out, but it was like the winter time. So now we're moving into the spring. I mean, this is for anyone on the call who's actually serious about just doing anything, something in any neighborhood. You can get, you know, a couple of friends, brothers, sister, cousin, aunt, uncle, nieces, nephews, and just pick an area, you know, in the community that's blighted, and just have a cleanup effort. Go get some garbage bags from Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever it is, right? You know, maybe $5-$10 in garbage bags, some gloves, and just go around and just clean up. Help some older people in the community. That right there will show the community, hey, listen, we're out here, we're doing something. We're taking it upon ourselves to go and do something. And then when you get that interest, well, the way that we intended to use it within the organization, as we're doing the cleanup effort and people are coming and saying, yo, what's going on? What do you do? You know, what are you guys doing? Then we tell them about Black Wallets Matter. And now they actually see the organization doing something in their local community. They actually see change. They actually can put their hands on something and touch it. And it doesn't take that much. It doesn't take that much. And when you're able to get, like, that kind of local support, then you can address whatever issues that you need. So, like the sister said, you know, in the Third Ward, they, you know, it's rough down there. You know, they may need financial literacy. They may need, you know, remedial education, basic reading, writing, and things like that. You can go down there and set something like that up. But I would just say make sure you have a way to fund these things, right? Because it's one thing to sit here and say, okay, this is how we can do it, or this is what we need, or whatever. But when you sit down and you start figuring out the numbers, you know, you need a space, you need desks, you need books, you need an instructor, you know, you probably, you know, whatever's going on, you probably need two instructors. If you could get volunteers, the first time one of those volunteers are like, listen, it's my daughter's party, or, yo, it's this, and then now the kids don't have an instructor, you're going to realize, you know what, I needed an employee. Because there's no way for you to reprimand or enforce anything with a volunteer. So if you're serious about doing what you're doing, then you want to be able to hire someone to do those jobs so that way you can make sure those jobs get done, you know. And so those are just some of the things that I'm sharing, and I'm sharing it from experience. I'm not speculating. This is not stuff, you know, I'm just sitting here coming up with stuff out of my head. I have actually organized things, put things in place. I realized what the challenges were. I made a little note, and then I was like, okay, cool, I'll do better moving forward. If you are, you know, anyone on this call is sitting here thinking about doing something in their local area and, you know, you want to talk about it, send me an email. I probably can help you structure, but you will quickly learn about me. I'm going to ask you, how can you make this thing sustainable? How can it support itself? Because as Brother Greg just said, we can sit and we can talk about whatever we want, but if you don't have the money, we don't have the money, nothing is going to get done. You can't really do too much without it. But a cleanup effort, that can be done, $10-$20. So I want to thank you, Brother Leon.
Well, praise God, brother. And one other thing too, that Brother Lou, the company, they actually set up to where they are soliciting, like churches are giving money to the schools, and the schools are taking the programs on, and then the students are getting it for like free because they have they're going out doing the actual setting up the money themselves, the company, and we have like schools and churches and all that put the money up, and the students getting it for free. Okay, so the system is designed to help them, so they're going getting the money first, and then the students are benefiting from it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So they understand. Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Sister T. What happened?
Hello? I don't know what's going on with the sister's phone. Hello? Sister? Hello? Sister T? I don't know what's going on with the line. But
can you hear me? It's T, Brother Lou.
Yep. How you doing, sister?
Okay. Thank you again for one more opportunity, and I won't belabor it, but what I do want to say is that there's already programs in place. My daughter is the president of a nonprofit organization called Dream Girls here in the Bay Area, California. And there's money for so much stuff. And you guys can all Google and do the research yourself. Black money gets recycled every year because it goes untouched. There's money for school, there's money for college, there's money for so many things. But everybody wants to have their own church, everybody wants to have their own organization, and everybody wants to struggle to raise a little bit of money, and the money's already there and they're not going for it. I want to say thank you to the brother in Texas with the Bolin Alley story. Please call me anytime. I know about the bottoms, sister. My dad was born in the bottoms of Texarkana, Texas, in the Hooks area. I know Texas very well, and I love it. I'd love to connect with the people there. I know a lot of people there that would love to get on this train. What's most important that I want to say is that there's no need to reinvent any wheels. There is nothing new under the sun, and it has already been done. So any discussions about how is it possible and what we can't do and all of that kind of stuff, I will redirect the conversation because it is simply, absolutely not the truth. The money is there. The money is going unclaimed by our community. I could go on and on and on about that story as well. And anybody want to have a conversation and look at that, I'm willing to do it. What
well,
I want
I'm
to
actually,
say
I'm
is
gonna, I'm
we
gonna,
as a
I
black people.
I want to weigh in on that now because I actually have someone who was looking into something for me. And there, you're right. There's money through like the Department of Labor and urban development and all these other different things. So how do you wade through all of this stuff and figure out how to apply? Because I looked at this stuff and I mean, like, it made my head hurt. And I'm glad you asked,
Brother Lou.
Yeah.
Brother Lou, I'm glad that you asked. For me to outline that is not appropriate for this call, I'm sure. But the next thing that I was going to say.
Why? No, I think, just like give us the rough outline. Yeah, I'm sure people would want to know because everyone always hears about this grant money.
I'm giving the outline. Brother Lou, with all due respect, I'm giving the outline. I'm going to be here every week that that God allows me to breathe to be on this call. I'm going to be on the call. But the next thing I was going to say is that we as a people in a community are connecting the dots. Check out George Frazier on YouTube, Connecting the Dots. Connecting the Dots, George Frazier, FRAZIER. Now, if anybody, and Brother Lou, you have my number, I have your number, you can call me anytime, and I can break it down and make it plain about how those things are done. And I appreciate your asking because I think that that's one of the biggest stumbling blocks that we have as a community and why we keep talking and don't have as much action and friction as we need to change this thing around. We have some. your organization, the blueprint, the whole nine yards is amazing. That's why I'm on the call. I wouldn't be wasting my time. But I'm telling you from my experience too, brother, and I'll be 60 years old in a couple of months, and love the younger perspective, but having some kind of sense of history and trials and errors and being around each other. What the missing piece is in this conversation, I think, is connecting the dots. And one of the young ladies, brilliant women that spoke earlier, she was talking about, but we're spread all over. How do we do things together? And I didn't quote her, but she knows who she is, and everybody on the call heard what she said. And if you watch this YouTube of George Fraser on connecting the dots, he breaks it down and makes it plain. We don't have to make up anything. We can reach back and go get what has already been presented, build teams. And I'm so thankful. I pray, could these people stop asking these questions on this call? When I first started getting on the calls, Brother Lou, every single week when you broke down the mission, the vision, the whole 10 yards, somebody had to ask, well, who's monitoring the money? And in my head, I'm thinking the lowest level is $120 a year. I blow that in a day or a week. Are you kidding me? It's a no-brainer. You can recycle enough cans to pay $10 a month to be on these calls and other calls, developing what is so necessary in our community, whether we live long enough to see it or not. But I have children, grandchildren, and a couple of great-grandchildren. And I know that if I'm not a part of the effect change gang, then I might as well just curl up right now and forget about the whole nine yards, because what am I doing anything for? I am a very successful business person. I am very well known in my community. And I'm not saying that to brag or boast, but to say that there's information that we can connect the dots across not just these United States, but the continents, because it's already done. The platforms are already in place. And you just have to choose to trust, get on board, and get in the zone that you fit in, get in where you fit in, and grow, be empowered, and empower. And I thank you again, brother, and I don't have anything else to say until next week. Thank you.
Yeah, but what I wanted to ask you is, so we always hear, okay, what we got to do.
You can ask me anything. You can ask me anything.
But we need the actual, well, we need the steps, right? So one of my things is when I speak with people, right, and they give me theory and conceptual things, I'm like, yep, all right, I got it. How, what, give me the how. Don't tell me the what, because the what, you know, is normally common.
Brother Lou.
Tell me the
Brother
how.
Lou.
So, yeah, guys.
Brother Lou.
You're saying something like connect the dots, right? And I understand you're trying to direct us, you know, to go watch the thing. What I am asking you, though, is what are the steps, like, to start getting things rolling, because a lot of people have ideas and they don't know like which kinds of steps. And these calls, we're trying to be as helpful and useful as possible, right? So we're trying to be different from what we normally do. So normally, like, we can
So Brother Lou, I hear you and I commend you for digging further. But what I'm going to say, I'm going to repeat this again, and I'm going to be on the call, so I'm not going anywhere. Like I said, I'll give my phone number out. anybody can call me anytime. The reason why I said that I didn't think that this call was the appropriate time to break it down and make it plain is because of time constraints and because there's first-time callers, because there's a membership call. And I'm going to be transparent. I have not joined yet, and you have still welcomed me and acknowledged me on every call every week, and I thank you for that. But when I join, I'm paying for the year. I'm waiting to close the deal, and then I'm going to pay for the year so that I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. You're asking me for concrete steps and all of that, and brother, what I'm telling you, excuse me, let me finish, please, let me finish. I'm an old lady. I don't want to forget what I'm saying. Please. What I'm telling you is I do have concrete steps. I do have directions. I do have strategies and tactics, but I don't think that this is the time. We don't even have the time to get into it. And I'm going to share something. You know, I've been on the call sick with the flu. You've experienced me struggling. Well, I got over the flu, and it turned into pneumonia. So I'm actually having this conversation on my second day of antibiotics because I have pneumonia. But anybody that wants the blueprints and the A to Z and the 1-2-3s of how to budget, how to financially plan, how to restore their credit, how to become homeowners instead of renters. If you're renting, you're paying somebody else's mortgage. I show people how to get the benefits of home ownership. I can go on and on and on, how to get people into cars. We got somebody into a car today. They were ecstatic, didn't think it was possible, been trying for a year. I can go on and on and on. I have concrete steps. I have files. I'm trying to go electronic, but most of my stuff is still paper. I can share it. I can print it out.
I can email it. I know. I hear you with that. All I was saying to you, for all of that explaining that you did, you could have just said how you go about researching a grant for your local area. That's what I was essentially saying. How do you go?
I apologize, Ben. You're absolutely right. For all the time I took, I could have actually, listen to this. Check this out. I said it was actually a clue earlier in the conversation that I had, right? So you said, how does one go about getting a grant? If anybody wants to know about getting a grant, wait a minute. Not even research. I will send them an entire program with everything from A to Z on how to start a nonprofit and how to write grants. I said it earlier. But that's not what I'm saying.
Forgive me for not understanding
what you were saying.
Right. So what I'm saying is, when you initially said what you were saying, you said there's grants for this, there's grants for that, blah, blah, blah. I said, yep, I went. I said there's grants for, like, the Labor Department, right? You can start, there's grants that you can use to start job training programs in specific areas. That's something specifically that I was actually looking at. I'm working with a client right now. She's done it. She's white. She's being kind of secretive with how she does. I met this lady a while ago. She didn't have a job training program. She has the job training program now, and I'm doing the marketing for this job training program. This one is grant money. She is essentially doing she is doing what we're talking about doing. And I met her years ago when she did. She gave me something really vague. And I'm normally pretty good with reading between the lines. So she sent me to her thing is called Career One Stop, right? So I'm using that. I have to use that in the marketing that I'm doing. So I looked at the Career One Stop, and that's a program from the Department of Labor. And it's like, okay, and then you can find it for, like, your state. But then that's all it says. And it's like, well, where exactly do you look? How do you read it? How do you find out what the qualifications are? And, like, all of that is what I'm saying. So if you have already done the process, if you already know, then you can be like, all right, cool, you go here, you go to this particular page, you look down, and here's what this number means, and that'll give you a good start for your particular area, because that's usually where a lot of
people. I might not be able to take you to the page to the Department of Labor's career one stop, but I know how to get there.
No, but I'm just giving an example.
I'm sorry?
No, I was just using that as an example. I was just saying, like, just something, right, because people, we always hear this stuff about grants. We always hear this in our community, but nobody ever says, here's how you actually do it. And so if I have to go and, I mean,
I'm trying to tell you, brother Lou, I'm going to go on mute, but the last thing I want to say is my name is Teak, T-I-Q-U-E.
Q-U-E. Yes,
my number is 925.
No, don't put your number out in public. You can send me an email, and anyone that's interested, we'll go back and we'll do it that way. Thank you for weighing in. Brother Chris, okay, hold on. Brother Chris.
Hey, how you doing? Good evening.
Peace, brother.
I'm pretty sure she understood what you meant, and you know, it kind of grieves me a little bit that we were talking in circles. I believe she was probably looking to monetize the information that she has, and would like to do that. Maybe I don't know.
Your phone is breaking up, brother. I didn't hear you.
Okay. I was saying it sounds like she's maybe trying to monetize the information that she has and doesn't want to really give it away for free. That's kind of the impression that I got from going around in circles like that.
Okay.
So, you know, but to speak to the point that I called about, and it kind of touches a little bit on everything the last few callers have said. I think education is the key, but I think there needs to be different levels for different aspects of what we're trying to do. And what I mean by that is I love the program about teaching the kids how to read. We definitely need to help them bridge the gap in our educational system, because we all know that it's flawed and it's leaning away from us instead of toward us. But also, I think, you know, I'm 43 years old, and since high school, I've been in groups, in organizations, trying to get things done with my people. And the fact of the matter is, I think we need an adult education program that helps us to kind of undo some of the mental conditioning that we're under, to where we're not able to fully understand one another, fully trust one another, or be trustworthy in business relationships, because I know there are probably several other people who can testify to this. I've been a part of several noble black causes that have just fallen apart because of this kind of self-fulfilling prophecy that we can't seem to get it together. But just having some kind of training, some kind of education that teaches us about business practices, business ethics, business acumen, so that everybody understands their role, their job, and we can go into it together. I don't care if it's a neighborhood cleanup or a bank merger, where we can do what a lot of other ethnic groups have been able to do, which is to co-op and genuinely work together, genuinely pool our resources, not be afraid, not be suspicious of one another. That's not something that's going to just happen naturally. That's something we're going to have to be retaught and retrained to learn how to do, to be unprogrammed from the way we are programmed today. And until we recognize some of the complexes that are built into our culture regarding ourselves, I don't think we'll be able to take too many successful steps on a larger scale. So I know, for myself, I'm building a lecture series on how to on customer service, on leadership, on organization, and basically tying it in with the history of what we've been able to do. I was on the call not too many weeks ago. It was the last time I was on the call, and I mentioned to you that, you know, we don't give ourselves a lot of credit, in that we don't understand that there were times in history over and over again where we put a lot of that mental conditioning aside. We did come together and we did great things. Right after the Civil War, during the Roaring Twenties, and again in the 1960s, and these things have occurred. We have done these things, and we have it in us to do it again. But you know, we can't always be compared to other ethnic groups because our story is unique. You know, you were talking about the Indians. I'll say this and then I'll let you go. You were talking about the East Indians and even, you know, the Irish and stuff like that coming here and having trouble. That's true. But Indians, when they came here, they had the backing of their home country. So a lot of them, when they came here, they brought money from India because Indians in India were willing to invest in this American enterprise, and they could channel all of that wealth through these Indian entrepreneurs that would come over here and buy two or three gas stations, or buy two or three or ten convenience stores in the hood where they can pay, you know, pennies on the dollar because of the property values being so low, and build an empire. That's something that we haven't had access to.
All right, so first let me just say, I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly on the current mindset and things like that, which is, so if you say you haven't been on the calls in a while, which in the beginning or at the calls, I say specifically that's why we're going to have to redefine what it means to be black, but we're going to have to do that with the babies because we're not going to change people's minds en masse. It's just not going to happen, and that's because we're dealing with the after effects of crack, right? We're dealing with the after effects of the crack epidemic because you are 100% right. You know, Reconstruction and all these other different periods, you know, we got it together. We were able to be productive. We were able to work things out. So what I believe is that there are enough like-minded brothers and sisters as we currently stand to that we don't have to change their minds. Their minds are already made up. Their minds are already focused on networking, organizing, constructing, building, learning, growing, and all of that stuff. And if we can just find them, those like-minded brothers and sisters, then we can build the structure that we need where we can start, you know, educating the children in mass. In regards to the situation with the other ethnic groups and things, like I say, you are 100% correct, again, our experience is different. But again, like you just said, immediately after that experience, during Reconstruction, during the 60s, during other periods in time, we were able to do it. And so the reason we aren't doing it now, I can't use that as an excuse anymore. I just won't allow it. If you want to say the racism, if you want to say they're not going to let us, if you're going to say whatever, and which was the reason why I brought that up specifically. I brought that up specifically to address that particular issue that, hey, listen, America is a racist place, but if you have the money, you're still able to get a leg up because it comes because you're because it's business. Business is the avenue. Business is the vessel that you need to get ahead in America. And so that's why I'm trying to impress upon, you know, the people on the call and anyone who I speak with, the importance that we focus on business. We have the money. Because we are the ones that support those businesses. So I understand business at a very, very deep, intimate level. And you just break it down. If you look at a P&L, it's like, yo, how much revenue came in? What went out for, you know, the cost of goods sold and all your other overhead? And what's the bottom line? That's pretty much what it is. So, you know, so when I say these things, we've taken them into consideration, and that's why the organization, I believe that, you know, I don't believe we're you know, I don't believe that we have the energy, the resources, the money to change minds as they currently are. I believe once we build up a big war chest, we can educate the children, because what we're doing is we're not reconditioning minds, we're shaping minds. There's nothing there, so we can put whatever we want into those heads. We can put whatever we want into those minds, and those children will believe us, because just like the sister said earlier, somebody told that young man that he's not college material, he can't go to college, and he believed it. If they would have told him, hey, listen, you can go to college, you can be this, you can, he would have believed that too. So that's just the types of things that we want to do. All right, brother?
Excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent. Yes.
All right. So we got it's the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to take Brother Greg, and then we're going to shut this down. Sister T, you're going to have to get back with us like next week, because this is going to be the last one, and I don't want to have a whole big – I think you want to try to defend yourself or what you said – or whatever, and I don't want to get into a whole long drawn.
But she don't have to. She don't have to defend herself. I don't think that she was trying to do any monetary thing at all. Willing to give her phone number out like that, you know. I just think the brother got it wrong.
Okay. And that's all. That's all you wanted to say.
No, well, yeah, I mean, I'm just defending the young lady because I like what the brother just said, except for the fact that I don't believe that she wanted to give the information out and accept money for it. Okay? That's all I wanted to say.
All right, cool. Thank you. Yeah, I didn't read that into it either. But so brothers and sisters, we are going to end this. And I want to thank everyone for coming to hang out with us. I wish you all.
Salute.
Thank you.